Someone once said that home is where the heart is, and in the world of sports, according to research conducted by and found on 538.com, no statement has ever been more true. The hope that fans have and the help that players get by playing at home is well documented in that aforementioned study. For example, in Major League Baseball, teams enjoy a 54% chance of winning if they are at home. In the National Football League, that percentage jumps to 57.1%, and in the NBA, home teams on home court win 60% of the time. You ramp that up into the playoffs, it gets even more interesting. For example, in the playoffs, home teams are said to have winning percentages that eclipse the 64% mark. Needless to say, in the society of professional sports, there is hope and there is help at home. This strange phenomenon is not just seen by athletes and coaches and managers, but it's also embraced and appreciated by children in our homes today, especially because of our mothers. And because of our godly mothers, we don't feel hopeless and we don't feel helpless in our homes. I love Proverbs 14:1. It says, "Wise women build up their homes." Proverbs 31 is a passage that will be read in every church in the world today, I believe. It is an ode to women and wives and great mothers, and in that passage, it is dedicated to those three entities, and it says this about her. It says, she helps him being her husband, she helps him all of her life, and generously helps those in need. Now, we are those children, and I think that we would admit that we will always have those needs. I mean, haven't we received hope and help from our mothers at home? Mothers, your ability to be that person and to help us and provide hope and help in our home has early biblical roots. For example, in Genesis 2:18, regarding the creation of the woman, the Lord God said, "It isn't good for man to be alone. I will make a companion for him," here's your key word, "a helper suited to his needs." From there, women and wives and mothers became great helpers and hope givers inside and outside of their homes. In 1 Samuel 2:19, we find Hannah helping her son Samuel by making him and then bringing him a coat every year. Now, I think about this. I always have a visual of Hannah. Hannah was one that wanted a child, could not bear a child, went to the temple, prayed for a child, was given a child, and named him Samuel. And he was a great son. Now, I can imagine little Samuel being there and Hannah sitting there comfortably and smiling and making him that coat that she would take him every year. Now, this is the kind of help that a mother would supply. In fact, is it any wonder why Samuel is referred to as the Lord's helper in verses 2 and 18 of 1 Samuel 2? He learned it rightfully and he learned it righteously. Ruth, here's another example. As Ruth 4:15 indicates, was worth more than seven sons. She gave her mother-in-law, Naomi, hope in the midst of her darkness and help to a widow and mother-in-law who was deemed helpless. Phoebe, a godly woman and deacon, was denoted for her help. Paul said in Romans 16:2, she herself has come to the help of many people. She was a helper and she was a hope giver. Women, wives, and mothers, today we recognize the respect and the hope and the help that you have brought to our and your homes and the way you continue to fulfill your God-given roles every single day. And so today on this Mother's Day, we thank you for that. William Barclay said this. He says, "Many a man who occupies a public position could not sustain it for 1 week without the help of the home behind him. There is no gift," says Barclay, "which cannot be used in the service of Christ. Many of his greatest servants are in the background, unseen, but essential to his cause." End quote. I know that Barclay was talking about women and wives and mothers. Today, women, wives, and especially mothers, we honor you and we praise God for you for the hope and the help that you provide in the home. But as much as we celebrate the hope and the help that comes from earthly mothers in our earthly homes, today more than ever, we are called to appreciate and embrace the hope and the help that comes from our Heavenly Father from His heavenly home. So I want to look at our sermon text today. It comes from Psalm 33, 18 through 22. Now, again, we don't know who the writer of this psalm is. Many suspect it was David. It's not noted, and so we will call the individual who wrote this the psalmist. And here's what the psalmist says, starting in verse 18, chapter 33. He says, "But the eyes of the Lord are watching over those who fear him, who rely upon his steady love. He will keep them from death even in times of famine. We depend upon the Lord alone to save us. Only he can help us. He protects us like a shield. No wonder we are happy in the Lord, for we are trusting him. We trust his holy name. Yes, Lord, let your constant love surround us, for our hopes are in you alone." Now, if you look at verses 18 and 19 of this passage, we see these words, "The eyes of the Lord are watching over those who fear him, who rely upon his steady love." Now, these are important words, because we are God's children when we love him, when we believe in him, when we follow him, and when we fear him. And we know that if we are his children, based on this passage, that he is constantly watching over us and looking out for us. I'm going to give you an example. I grew up in a farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. We were blessed to have a pool in the backyard and many other fun things that we could use and do. And I remember that my mom, the kitchen window faced out, looked out over the pool and all the other area that we would use to play and roughhouse in. And I remember that my mom, it was a comforting feeling to be able to look in that window and always see her face smiling, and I'm guessing praying, because she was always wondering what we were doing. And I think she was probably worried about what we were doing. It was great to know that my mother was watching over us. Today, it's even greater to know that our Heavenly Father is always watching out for and watching over us. And we take great comfort in this. You see, those who love God and fear God are his children, and we are assured of this. Romans 8, 14 through 17 tells us this. Folks, let me comfort you with these words. God watches us. Job was right when he said in Job 28, 24, he says, God looks throughout the whole earth under all the heavens. He sees us from his heavenly home. Jesus says in Matthew 8:20, speaking of home, he says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I, the Messiah, have no home of my own, no place to lay my head. Now, Jesus' home was at the right hand of God's throne in heaven. Mark 16:19, Revelation 3:21 tells us this. I want to read a passage that comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 9. Listen to what Paul says, and listen closely to the word home. You're going to hear it here often. He says, "For we know that when this tent we live in is now taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have wonderful new bodies in heaven, homes that will be ours forevermore, made for us by God himself and not by human hands. How weary we grow of our present bodies. That is why we look forward eagerly to the day when we shall have heavenly bodies, which we shall put on like new clothes. For we shall not be merely spirits without bodies. These earthly bodies make us groan inside, but we wouldn't like to think of dying and having no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will, as it were, be swallowed up by everlasting life. This is what God has prepared for us, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Jesus. We know these things are true by believing, not by seeing. And we're not afraid, but are quite content to die, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So our aim is to please him always in everything we do, whether we're here in this body or away from this body, and with him in heaven." Three times in that passage, Paul mentions home. Now, in many cases, because we are tangible people, we like to be able to touch things, we like to be able to see things, we like to be able to feel things, smell things, taste things. We're tangible people. And so when we hear Paul talking about home, instantly our minds goes to the place that we would call our earthly home. It's a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place where our mothers worked so hard to make it great. But Paul's not talking about that home. Paul's talking about a heavenly home, something that gives us an incredible amount of hope. And for those who are struggling, for those who are hurting, for those who are sick, some who may be even dying, we look at this and we say we're not scared, because God has prepared for us a home. You see, we hope in and we have hope from our heavenly home. Let me give you an example of this, because like I said, I think we're tangible people. Can you imagine for a moment, if you were growing up, no siblings, it was just you, And for some of you, that may be true. And he had an aunt and an uncle. They had no kids. And they were incredibly wealthy. And they built a house, and literally every Christmas you would go to this house and you would celebrate Christmas at this house. And every time you'd walk into this house, from the minute you remember this house, you would always say, this is the greatest house I've ever been in. And one day as you continue to grow up and they continue to add things to this house, you know, this is the most amazing house ever. One day they pull you aside, you're 13 years old, and they say, listen, I don't know if I should tell you this, but we feel compelled to tell you this, that when we die, this house is going to be yours. Now, I'm assuming at that point, you would never say you wanted them to die, but you would certainly look forward to the point when you would be able to live in that home. You would have an incredible amount of hope in that home. Now, if you think about this, we are given the same thing. We're given that home in Jesus. He has told us that when we die, we will have this home. The hope that we get should be an incredible hope that not only sustains us, but strengthens us even in our most difficult times, because we know that we will always have, as believers and children of God, we will always have an incredible amount of hope in that heavenly home. You see, even better, and I always feel weird saying this, even better than our earthly mothers, our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior offer us a better hope and a better help from the very best home. Now, sometimes I think for many, they'd say, that's hard to believe. I can't believe that somebody would do it better than my earthly mother. And I can tell you, there's one person that's done it better than your earthly mother, and that is our Heavenly Father. And He has given us the perfect help and the perfect hope, and He has created for us the perfect home. Hebrews 7:19 says, now we have a far better hope. For Christ made us acceptable to God. Now we may draw near to Him. Now I want to talk about this Heavenly Father offered hope, because I think it's important we talk about it. Now, let's talk about what hope is based on what comes from our Heavenly Father. It is defined as confident expectancy and assurance. From that passage in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 1 through 9, we saw the word confidence. Now, when we have God's hope, we have confidence and we have assurance. There was also a word that was used in that passage by the Apostle Paul. That word was guarantee, which means certainty. And let me tell you, when God says you have hope in me, that is always going to be a guarantee. But unfortunately, when we put our hope in things of this world, we are disappointed. I can remember times when my mother would tell me, hey, if everything works out, you're going to be going over to your friend's house. You're going to have a lot of fun. I've got it cleared with the parents. You'll have a sleepover. And I would say, really? And she'd say, yeah. But don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up, because something could happen. And if you remember, maybe you were part of that whole sleepover thing. We were always sleeping over somebody else's house. And I can remember on Thursday night, it was the worst. You get the call on Thursday night. And you ever wanted that call on Thursday night? My mom would sound so disappointed. And she'd say, okay, thank you. Boys, I remember that. Boys would come in, she'd say, I'm sorry, your friend, he's sick, you're not going to be able to go over there. And all of a sudden, our hopes were dashed. That wasn't just sleepovers. It was all kinds of things. We would call them do-overs, because we never wanted those things to happen. But my mom, sadly, would have to be the one to bear the bad news, and she would always know that our hopes were dashed. Folks, our earthly mothers did the best they could. I know her heart broke when my heart broke. And I know that she never wanted to give bad news, because we lived in a world of hope. But my mom, as hard as she tried, still, she was not able to fully prevent us from being disappointed. This is the hope that we have in God. It never disappoints. There is confidence and assurance. How many times have you said, I hope for something, but we may not get that something? Yesterday, Jillian's birthday was celebrated, and we got Jillian, we've got 4 tickets to the Cardinals-Cubs game May 31st. We're going to St. Louis. First time she's ever been to Busch Stadium. It's the worst place in the world to go. And so we're going there. And so anyway, and what did I tell? I said, and it's going to be a fun little getaway. We're getting away for a night, and so it's going to be a fun getaway. And I said, we have to hope for no rain. Now, you know what that means. Farmers, you know what that means. So sometimes our hopes can be dashed, and this may not work out if it's a rain out. But this is the thing I tell you, is that so often as a father and mother, we want the best for you, Jillian, but at times these things won't work out. And my point is that with God, everything works out. You see, everything that He gives us and everything that we have hope in as children works out. There is a confidence and assurance that's assured and given to us by God Almighty that promises us that by Jesus it will work out. And the way it will work out is because we know that we have a heavenly home that will always be there for us. Praise God for this. Look at Psalm 39:7. David said, my only hope is in you. Verse 22, we reiterate that passage. He says this. He says, yes, Lord, let your constant love surround us, for our hopes are in you alone. Paul says that as children of God, we are wearing as our helmet the happy hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-8. This hope offered by our heavenly Father from his home is different from the hope offered by earthly women and wives and mothers from their homes. And the difference is this. His hope is perfect, and his hope is guaranteed. Our mother's hope, sadly, sometimes is imperfect. Though offered with love, there is no certainty. God and his son Jesus will never fail us. I tell this story every Mother's Day because I think it makes sense, and I don't like saying it. If you think, well, he's never gotten over it, it's not true. I have. But when I was a kid back in the mid-80s, this was when the Illini were marching toward a NCAA tournament berth, and my brother finally got his driver's license, and so it was 3 tickets to an Illini game. We're in the kitchen, and we're a couple, 3 hours out from leaving, and I remember pouring myself a glass of orange juice. The orange juice went everywhere all over the kitchen, and my mom came in and started yelling, and she said, you're not going. I said, what do you mean not going? I said, Mom, it was an accident. I spilled OJ. You're treating me like OJ. And she said, you're not going. And at that point, I remember thinking, but it was an accident. I just spilled orange juice. Now, it was probably not one of my mom's favorite moments. Looking back on it, she probably would have done a little bit different. But at that point, I realized that I lost a little bit of hope in my mom. Let me give you another example. My mom wanted my brother and I take swim lessons. I couldn't stand swimming. I didn't want to swim. I was like a piece of granite. I'd sink. And I remember thinking when my brother and I fought her the whole way. We got to the pool. I remember getting in the pool. I hated water. And she put us, by the way, I like swimming now, I'm okay. But she put us in there, and I'm thinking, wait a second, Mom, this isn't right. You can't swim, and you're sitting in the chase lounge, and we're in here, and we can't swim, and we're in the pool, and you're expecting us to swim, we're going to drown. And I remember thinking, I have no hope in my mom. Now, again, we realize that our moms sometimes will make mistakes. They're imperfect. They will make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. And so while we may lose a little hope and faith, while we may think that maybe our moms aren't there to help us all the time, I guarantee you this, God will be there for you every time. The hope that he gives us, the help that he gives us cannot be argued. It cannot be challenged. It is always there and it's ready for us. Praise God that our Heavenly Father has given us a heavenly home that will never fail us. That is what we take with us today. So what is our Heavenly Father, Jesus, Savior-inspired hope in? Well, it's eternal life in heaven. Their perfect, sinless, hope-filled home will ultimately be every believer's, every Christ lover, Jesus follower's home. And I'm going to ask you something. Doesn't that give you an incredible amount of hope? That regardless of what happens here, and folks, if we are too focused on what's happening here, we'll forget about what's going to be up there. And so today, I would hope and pray that all of us, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you are simply someone who says, I need hope, that you would say, I got hope in a heavenly home. It can't be taken away from us. It's always there for us who love Jesus. I remember my first year of college, Eastern Illinois University, an hour away from my home. I called my mom. We're halfway through the semester. Called my mom and I said, Mom, I think I'm probably going to leave college. I was homesick. And I called my mom as a perfect person to talk to, and she said, I understand. She said, well, you can come home. I loved my home. My brother was there. My dog was there. My cat was there. My parents were there. I loved my home. She said, you can come home. But there was a different tone regarding me coming home. It wasn't like this. I've been waiting for this phone call. Please come home. I'm missing you as much as you're missing me. That was not it at all. She said, you can come home. But she said, what are you going to do when you get home? What is there here in this home? She was right. She said, so here's what I'm going to tell you. Pray about this. Go to God with this. Trust Jesus. I remember those words. And I remember thinking at the end, I can't come home. Now here's what's interesting. Even in my worst moment at age 18 through age 22 when I was in college, here's the way I made it through it. I trusted in Jesus who was watching out for me from his heavenly home. My hope and my help came from my Heavenly Father and my Lord and Savior from their home. That's the hope that we get. That's the hope that we get. Today we are offered the same kind of hope and help every single day that we trust in him. She could not offer me substantial eternal hope. Love? Yeah. Hope? No. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:3, we, born-again believers, lovers, followers of Jesus, we live in hope of eternal life. As Christians, folks, let me tell you something. This is a difficult life. If you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, you will find that it will be difficult. We have a girl that spends 10 to 11, 12 days in Bolivia, and she understands that it's a difficult life. We have individuals that have gone and handed out clothing to homeless people. It's not convenient. It's a difficult life. And folks, if you're a Christian, I can tell you this, and you say yes to this opportunity, and you say, I want to be one of God's children, you'll have a difficult life. I wish I could tell you, sign up, because it's great. I can tell you this, it is great, but not the great that you think it will be. Being a Christian is challenging, and you'll need hope, and you'll need help. And oftentimes, that hope and that help cannot come from our earthly homes, as much as we would like for it to come from that home. It's got to come from God's home. This is where we get our hope. This is where we get our help. Paul says and uses the words, hope of eternal life, in Titus 3:7. Do we really want hope? I mean, when things begin to seem like or sound like that all is hopeless, we must remember the hope, the confident assurance that we will one day be at home, our eternal home with Jesus. Is that enough? Is that enough for us? Does that inspire us? My mother helped me to see that heavenly home that she hoped for. She helped me to see it. She helped me to understand it, because let me tell you something, she hopes in it every day. My mom never really thinks about this home. My mom constantly thinks about her eternal home. And when that day comes when she leaves this home, I will have an incredible amount of comfort, because I know that God will have called her home. This is the comfort that I get. This is the hope and the help that he provides. As a child of God, my mother taught me to put my hope in my heavenly Father. I learned from her that godly hope originated from a heavenly home. I love what Jesus says in John 14, 1 through 4. These are powerful words, folks. And this is something, by the way, if you attend a lot of funerals, and I hope you don't, you're going to hear this a lot. Here's what Jesus says, starting with verse 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You're trusting in God. Now trust in me. He says, verse 2, there are many homes up there where my Father lives, and I'm going to prepare them for your coming. And when everything is ready, then I will come and get you so that you can always be with me where I am. If this weren't so, I would tell you plainly, and you know where I'm going and how to get there. And praise God that there is a there. Every single day we see sickness and disease, we see challenges, we see trials and burdens. And I'm reminded that they will never get us, that they will never own us. They just bring us closer to Jesus. And ultimately, they bring us closer to his perfect eternal home. Folks, we are never hopeless, and we are never eternally homeless when we have Jesus. As Dr. Louis Barbieri puts it, the new birth brings a new hope into the life of the believer. This living hope is a result of the believer's personal relationship with the living Savior. We as believers have a living hope because our hope is based in a living Savior. And because of our relationship with Jesus, our lives will never be hopeless. I hope you heard that correctly. Because of our relationship with Jesus, our lives will never be hopeless. And I know there are people out there saying, my life is hopeless, my situation's hopeless, my job situation's hopeless, my family relationship's hopeless. And I can tell you with Jesus, nothing is hopeless. Now here's what's going to happen, though. Satan is going to convince you and accuse you and try to tell you that your life is in fact useless. He will tell you that everything is hopeless. He will tell you that you're helpless, and he will tell you that your faith and confidence in Jesus is misguided and misfounded. And he will try to convince you that you don't need Jesus. This is what Satan does. Christian writer and editor Michael Dudowitz says this about that. He says, one of Jesus' gifts is salvation from your sins. Another is a sense of belonging and purpose in life. A third gift is work to do in his kingdom. And all this is part of the hope that is ours from our relationship with Christ. With Jesus, we are never and neither hopeless or helpless. Earlier, we accounted for great women, wives, and especially mothers who were great helpers. But we failed to mention women like Rahab and Esther and Deborah. There are others. Genesis 2, 18 and 20. God made woman as man's helper. But even as great helpers, let me talk to you about this, because I think hopefully you'll want to use this. I use this a lot. There's an acronym for help. It applies. Acronym H period, E period, L period, P period. You know what I think it stands for? How everyone loves people. That's what I think health is, how everyone loves people. And if you really want to love someone, help someone. If you really want to love them, help them, because folks, this is what Jesus does for us. And as great as helpers as my wife is, and let me tell you something, folks, this ministry that happens here at Covell Community Church would not happen without her. She is an amazing helper. And I give her so much credit for all that she does here. And so much of it you never see, but I see it. And I see how hard she works. She's a great helper. My mom is an amazing helper. She'll never stop helping. Every time I go out for an event, if I travel, I have to go somewhere, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? Want to know why? Because I know that she means I love you. Help, how everyone loves people. But even as my mom and my wife are great helpers, they're still sinners. They still make mistakes. They still err. On Father's Day, folks, dads, we're gonna tell you the same thing. We're still sinners and we still err. Now, my mom and my wife, they don't like it when they make mistakes, and they don't like it when they err, but they do. I remember one day we had a big lot in Clinton where we built a house on, and it was massive. One day I had to go out of town and was traveling out of town, and she was at home. This was PK, pre-kids, and so she said, "What do you want me to do today? I want to help." And I said, "Well, you know," I said, "we're going to be really busy. Would you want to go out and spray the yard?" We had weeds, and so I said, "There's two bottles out there. There's Roundup, and there's Weed Be Gone." And for everybody who's a farmer, you know when Roundup hits anything, it kills everything. Well, my wife decided that she should use Roundup. And so about 6 days later, I went out and we had a polka dot yard. And I realized at that point, I was like, uh-oh, she used the Roundup. She felt so bad that she used the Roundup. Now, here's the point. She wanted to help, but in reality, it didn't help that much because then we had to replant and do all that stuff. My poor wife. I remember my mom one day, we were out playing baseball. We were young and playing baseball. My mom said, "I want to come out and play baseball with you." Wow. She came out and I don't know that she knew what to do with a baseball. And she was out there about 2 minutes and she tried to play catch and tried to hit. And we looked at each other and said, "Mom, this isn't going to work." Now, she wanted to help, but my mom was never gifted in the sport of baseball. She wanted to help, but she was not able to help. And how many times, mothers, have we said, "I want to help, but I'm not able to help"? I'm going to give you one more quick example. Every single night, and if you've got young children, you'll know exactly where I'm going with this because it's coming. Every single night in my prayers, I ask for God to watch over my children, because every single morning, my children drive to school. And I am always concerned that this will be the last day I see them as they're driving to school. So my prayer every night is for God to watch over my children, ride in the car with my children, be the co-pilot with my children, protect my children, guide my children. This is what I pray for every single night. And here's the reason why I pray for them. Because I cannot help them. Their mother cannot help them. It's not like we can ride with them every day. It's not like we can be with them every day. And so thus, I ask God to help with this every single day. Now let me tell you where the hope comes in. The hope is this. The hope is if this is the day that they don't come home, or the hope is if this is the day that I don't come home or their mother doesn't come home, here's the hope, that we will be together in an eternal home. I want you to think about this. See, that's an incredible hope, and nobody can take that away. God has given it to us, secured through our faith in Jesus and promised by the Holy Spirit as he convicts us. This is hope. And so this is the help that I ask for, and I get it from my Heavenly Father every day. Parents with little children, get ready. You will offer that prayer every single day, I promise you. Our Father is our helper. He is the perfect helper. Verse 20 of our sermon text, only he can help us. From his home, he offers us eternal hope and incredible help, and it is perfect. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting comfort and hope, which we don't deserve, comfort your hearts with all comfort and help, and help you in everything you do and say." If we need the help of our earthly women and wives and mothers, how much more do we need the perfect help of our Heavenly Father? In Romans 5, 1 through 6, Paul talks about our problems and trials and how as God's children, these things help us to be patient and trustworthy when things seem helpless. With God, we're never helpless. Jessica, when you were in Bolivia, I prayed every single day, multiple times, that God would give you hope and that God would give you help. Mike and Lisa could not be there to give you help. They could give you some hope, but at the end of the day, we put your faith and your fate in God's hands. For those of you who have gone in for surgeries, for those of you who are in hospitals, when we couldn't be there to give you hope and give you help, God was there to give you hope and give you help. We believe that and we trust in that. When our children are gone, when they're not with us, we put our hope and our confidence and we ask for help from Jesus. This is what we do. And on Mother's Day, we almost feel like this is Heavenly Father's Day because we thank Him for the hope and the help that He offers us every single day. We need the hope and help that comes from God in His heavenly home. But what happens, folks? What happens to those who aren't His children? Those who literally have never believed in or lived for or loved Jesus? What happens to those who are eternally homeless and hopeless and helpless? The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 12, they are some of the hardest words I've ever had to read. He says, you were once them. He says, remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Christ. You were enemies of God's children, not His children. And He had promised you no help. You were lost without God, without hope. Some of the most challenging words you'll ever read in the Word. You see, God's children are promised this help and hope, but those who are not His children do not have this help. And they do not have this hope, and that is why it's incumbent upon us to introduce them to Jesus. It's incumbent upon us to share with them the help and the hope from our eternal home where we can get it from Jesus. Now, if we are God's children, we must never forget that we have this help and that we have this hope and that we have this home. So how can we honor our earthly mothers? How can we thank our Heavenly Father today? I think there's three ways we can do this. Number one, I think we can help. H-E-L-P, how everyone loves people. I think we can be better at loving people and helping people. Number two, I think we can provide godly homes that are patterned off after our heavenly home. And what that means is we will do everything we can as God does for us to introduce not only our household to Jesus, but everyone who comes into our home to introduce them to Jesus. And lastly, number three, I think we can be hope givers. Even when we fail at this because we're imperfect, we can be hope givers in the name of Jesus. And when we can offer hope and we can offer help and we can show people that there is a better home than even our earthly home, we've then loved people. That is how everyone can love people. Today we have a responsibility. That responsibility is to do this for people. So where do we go for help and where do we look for hope? So often and for so many years, and I can attest, when we're down, when we need answers, when we need comfort, when we need peace, we go home. And I can still think of how wonderful my home felt when I was a kid. I'd come home from college, and I'd walk in, I'd see my mom and dad, smell what was baking in the oven, see the smile on my mom's face, and I remember how great that felt to be home. Let us never forget that there is a better, heavenly-filled, hope-filled home. It is where our ultimate hope and help is because that is what God does. We praise Him for this today. 20 through 22 would tell us this. Women, wives, and mothers, I implore you to make your earthly home a godly home where your children will be encouraged to believe in and love and live for God's Son so that they will become His children. And when you can't be with them, mothers, you will always know that God is with them and that they are His children. For those ladies who have already done this, we thank you for this. Because today, amidst our struggles, our trials, our financial and family and faith battles that fill our homes, we realize that we are not helpless. And as God's children, we realize that we are not hopeless. Because of you and because of what you taught us about God and our Savior Jesus in those homes. We praise God today, Mother's Day, for His hope and His help that every day comes from His heavenly home. Today, as children of God, we are offered the greatest help and hope that we could ever ask for and ever be given. And we put our faith today in eternal life in heaven, and this is a promise given to us by God and His Son Jesus, and I praise Him for this. Mothers, thank you. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for making sure that your children grow up as Christians. This is what we ask and hope for today. We're going to pray. This is time for a pastoral prayer. We are going to pray for these individuals who are listed. Jessica, it's weird to say, I'm not going to be praying about your Bolivia experience now. Nice to have you back. So we'll be praying, though, for our other needs, and there are many. I want to share one thing real quick. Sarah Zollerstone did make it. She's at Heritage on Walnut. If you know Sarah, you know that when you walk into the room with Sarah, she just lights it up. She is such a wonderful person. We went and saw her Friday night and took her tulips. Did not know that she loved tulips, but she loves tulips. So that worked out well. So please continue to pray for her. She's going to be there, we're hoping, less than 3 weeks. That's what we're hoping, and that she recovers from her surgery. There's a lot of needs on here. We're going to pray for all of them. Remember to pray for them. We're reminded today what God does and how he can bring us home to our earthly homes from his heavenly home. So we'll praise him for that as well. Join us, if you want, in front of the church for a pastoral prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that as great as our homes are, and as great of a job as our mothers have done, that today we thank you for being our Heavenly Father and for the home that you've prepared for us. This is the ultimate hope, the greatest hope, the better hope. Father, I thank you today for the help that you provide us, especially when we as parents can't be there for our children. Father, I thank you for the hope that you provide us through your heavenly home, and I pray that this would be our focus, that we would live for that home. Father, I pray today that we would long to help everyone that we can. I pray that we would use Jesus as our example, and I pray today that we would care for others in the same way that he cares for us, and we praise Jesus for this. Father, I pray today that as children, your children, that we would trust in you and ask you to guide us and direct us. I pray that each one of us would have a heart for Jesus, and I ask this according to your will. Father, today we celebrate mothers, but we celebrate you as our Heavenly Father, and we thank you for what they've done, and we especially thank you for what you've done. Father, I thank you for bringing Jess home safely. I thank you for the love that was poured out from this church and from the people there in Bolivia and the difference that she made. I am grateful for the big and great news that we received from Jonathan and Kelsey, and we celebrate that. I'm grateful for healing, for what we see for Sarah, when we see Cork among us, when we see those who have been healed and helped, and we remember that we put our hope in you and you helped us accordingly. This is what we praise you for today. Father, be with us, I pray. Sustain us and strengthen us so that we can draw closer to you every single day. This is what we ask from you, and this is what we need from you. We love you. We love you, and we need you. And so, Father, I pray today that we will commit our lives to you. Father, I pray that we'll be more than believers. I pray that we'll be followers, lovers, and doers for you. And I ask it according to your will. Be with every name that's on our bulletin, I pray. Their needs are specific and individualized, and I pray that you'll help each and every one of them. For many, we know them, but we may not know what they're suffering from, but you do. And so I pray that you'll lift them up and heal them and help them. And I ask today that they would be given hope. To every mother that's celebrated today in this world, I pray that they would truly be thanked and appreciated. Father, I thank you for strengthening them and empowering them and giving them the role as you indicated in your earliest word, as helper. We're grateful. Father, thank you for the hope that we have today. And today we look forward to an eternal home that will never, ever fail us. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand and close with our final song. So how do you feel about your heavenly home? I'm excited. I work with a guy every day, and one of the most devout believers I've ever met. And he always talks about, he loves his family here, but he can't wait to get up there. And he's always talking about going to his heavenly home and the hope that we have. And I love this lady. She's a great friend of mine. Her name is Lori Ossoli. And Lori, you are so much like the guy I work with, because let me tell you something. Lori loves thinking about talking about that heavenly home. That gives us hope. And praise God that we have that hope. And so today, I pray as we go to our homes, we enjoy them, we cherish them. As you spend your day with your mothers, and I hope that you do, make sure and get them a card. I hope that when you are in that home and you appreciate that home, that you'll realize just how great your heavenly home will be, the better place, the perfect place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us hope, and I thank you for reminding us that we have this hope that can only come from you. Thank you for preparing us a home. Father, I pray that this will be our hope. And I pray today that we will long to be your children. Help us today to say, not only do I believe in Jesus, but I love Jesus and I want to live for Jesus. I would dedicate my life to Jesus. And that, Father, assures us of a heavenly home. And I pray each day that we have life on this earth as Christians. We know there will be challenges, but I pray that you'll sustain us and strengthen us and prepare us every day. Help us to get closer to that heavenly home. Thank you for your hope. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Have a great day. You've earned it.